Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Neil, we can see you coming. Okay, I just checked, getting back up to that first step. That hasn't collapsed too far, but it's adequate to get back up.
Roger, we copy.
Pretty good little jump. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. I'm going to step off the LAM now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Do you remember that moment? How many were kicking and happening during that moment right there? Looked at our poll, 23% of our church remembers that moment. Man, I'm telling you, it was inarguably one. I wasn't there in that moment. I was not to exist for the next 9 years. However, it was one of, you know, and it was inarguably one of the staple moments in human history, when for the first time in the history of mankind, led by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, aka NASA, when we left our world and placed our footprint on another world. What a mind-blowing moment. You know, this had been the goal of NASA for decades, a dream to explore the unknown worlds that exist outside our own. And on July 20th, 1969, they did it. They landed on the moon. What is your moon? What is your dream? What goals do you have in your life that you are just waiting, / hoping, / dreaming, / praying to see accomplished? What is your moon? God has been speaking to me, man, since the beginning of this summer. To build a series of talks that would authentically equip you to arrive at a point in your life where that happens, where you are able to put your footprint on the surface of your dream, where you are able to put your footprint on the surface of a goal that you've been praying and dreaming and asking God for it to happen in your life, for you to step out of the world that you are in now and place your footprint on the surface of your dream. My question would be for this is for you in this room. How many in this room would be interested in knowing how to do that? Like, how to get to your dreams. I know I am. I mean, I want to see my footprint on the surface of my dreams. So that's the goal of this series, for you to be the Neil Armstrong of your dreams. Now, you know, what we've done before, you know, somebody said, well, we've talked about dreams before in this church, and we have. I've written dreams down, put them up a mountain, and have prayed for them, and that is incredible. All of those series were built, though, however, to kind of inspire you to hold on and not give up to the dreams that God has given you, and just to tell you to never stop believing in your dreams. But we've never really gotten sub-level. We've never really gotten microscopic levels on how you are to get to your dream, on how a dream becomes reality. And so to do this, we're going to walk into this series called Man on the Moon, where we are the man and the moon is our dream. And we're going to divide this series into three sections. The first section is going to be asking a question. What is your moon? What is it? What is your dream? What are your life goals? If you don't know, if you cannot answer that question, we are going to help you answer that question. We are going to assist you in identifying your moon, in identifying your dream, because there are many people in this world that don't know what their dreams are. They don't know how to dream. Maybe you're in this room here. We're going to answer that question, what is my moon? And then after we answer that question, we're going to walk into a second question, which is, all right, now that I know it, how do I get to my moon? How do I get there? How do I get to the point where you're putting your foot on the surface of your dream? We're going to unwrap practical steps. We're going to unpack practical teaching that will help you in reaching your dream and your destiny or your God-given goal for your life. And then once we dig into that, and that's going to be a meaty part of this series and talking about how to get there, then we're going to ask a third question and final question, and it's this: what do I do when I get there? What happens when I get to my moon? What happens when I arrive and put my footprint on the surface of my dream? I really look forward to this series here this fall. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to walk into a series, God, that will build dreams in this place, that will launch your people to their moon. Lord, guide me, I pray, as your servant. Every word I speak, God, that I would be an echo of what you're saying to us, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's dig into this first question here today, as this sermon today is obviously kind of introductory. But it's this: what is my moon? What is your moon? Let's ask the question. Think about this for you. What is my destiny? You know what I mean when I ask that, right? Like if this telescope were to be underneath an open sky, one thing I loved about Arizona when I lived there is how big the sky was. And at night, you know, we would kind of even be around the Grand Canyon at nighttime, where there is no distractive man-made lights around for miles, and you just see this huge night sky. I love that view. And here's what is my destiny? And what I mean when I say that is, you know, if you were to ever look inside of a telescope underneath a huge open sky, we would see this gigantic universe, this big world. You would see stars that are billions and billions of light years away, just inside of our one galaxy that is just a minute fragment of multiple galaxies that exist inside of this big universe. And then, you know, you were to see all this big stuff looking through this telescope, and you would just wonder, in all of this bigness, in all of this grand-sized universe that I lived in this immeasurably huge world I live in, is there a purpose? Wow. To little old me. Is there a purpose to me? Let me answer that question by saying this. Yes, there is. Yes, there is a purpose to your life. I'm trying right now to look at every single one of you in this room. Yes, there is a purpose to your life. Mark Twain said it best when he was quoted as saying, "The two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why." Why are you here on this planet? You could not ask a more fundamental question as a human being than that right there. Why are you here on this planet? Why do you exist? What is your moon? Is it, I mean, be president of the United States of America? Is it to be a political leader? Is it to, I mean, is it simple? I mean, are you on this planet to raise children? Just to be a nurturing mother or a father? Is it to start a business? Is it to travel the world as a missionary? Is it to help people through the route of medicine? Maybe your dream, your moon is to become a doctor or a nurse, or maybe you want to work in law and uphold justice through being a lawyer or a judge, or, you know, we could go on and on. What is your moon? What is your destiny? What is your life's purpose? Why were you created? Because many are wandering aimlessly. Many people are wandering aimlessly through this big world without a clue on how to answer that question. I've asked people, many people even in this room, what is your life's dream? And the response isn't any different than what we hear so often in the world around. I don't know what my life's dream is. Without any knowledge on how to find their life's purpose, why are you here on this planet at this time? Are you ready to answer that question? I mean, are you ready? Because we're not going to answer that this morning. Amen. Because before we dig into that question, before we answer that question, because that's a big question, like, why are you here on this planet? Before we answer that question, before we get into the practicals on the hows and the whats, before we unpack all that, friend, you have to believe He has a plan for you. Well, how do you know that, preacher man? Because if there's a planner, then there's a plan. And my goal today is not to keep you long. It's simply to convince you of the fact that you're not an accident. Man, if that could be my goal today, is to convince you of the fact you're not an accident and you are not outside of the thought ramifications of God's. He has not forgotten about you. You are in the scope of His focus. You're not an accident. It's my goal to convince you of that, that the old scriptures in Jeremiah are true and they apply to you. That before you were even created, there was a plan for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, at the beginning of his book, he's quoting God above, pinning it on the piece Jeremiah is of parchment for mankind to know these words that God was speaking to him, and it was this: before I formed you, listen to that, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And 28 chapters later, in chapter 29 and verse 11, he echoes it again in another creative way. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God has a plan for your life. My question is this: do you believe that? Because the series is built to take you to Him. It's built and constructed and planned to take you to Him, because this series, what it's going to do in its nature, is equip you to connect with God and find that plan. Because if you want to know the plan, you got to go to the planner, right? Somebody will say, oh, I don't need to go to God. I know why I'm here. I can figure that out on myself. I love what Rick Warren said in Purpose Driven Life. I dug into Purpose Driven Life a little bit in this series, and we're going to find some PDL in this series. And he said this: you can't tell you what your purpose is because you didn't make you. If something was made, it was made for a reason. And how do I find that reason? right? Well, number one, you talk to the maker. Number two, if you can't do that, read the owner's manual. Right? We just had a baby shower, right, a few little bit ago, and we couldn't believe all that we had gotten from this church, and we're about to have a baby in 5 days. What in the heck? I got to sit down. I just thought about that for a minute. 5 days. What the heck? I just got really hot. I am sweating like crazy, and I wasn't. Ushers, please deal with that, man. We had gotten so many gifts at this baby shower, and multiple vehicles are pulling up to our house unloading stuff. And I'm like, wow. I mean, like I said, I was just crying at just the provision of God in our home in that moment. It was wild. And I had watching stuff, and I'm like, oh, I know what that is. And then I saw this. And I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, I just like, what is this? What is this thing? What does it do? And Missy's looking at other things, and she's like, Jesse, just shh. You know, and I'm like, what? But I don't understand what this does. You know, I don't get it. And she's like, just leave me alone. You know, like I was bothering her in the moment. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, what? I don't understand. She's like, look at the owner's manual. You know, like you can just check it out on that. And I, you know, because I'm like, what? Why is this thing in existence? Why was it made? What does, you know, I'm curious. And then I did. I looked at the owner's manual. Because, I mean, the maker, like I said, if you want to find out why something's made, right, talk to the maker. Well, the maker's Fisher Price. I don't think I could necessarily get an appointment with them to ask them that question. So then I'm going to read the owner's manual, right? And if I were to look at it, this is what it says. It says, importante, gracias. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Wrong question. It says this, that this device was created, and it shows a picture. I know you can't see it. I should have scanned it and put it on there on the screen for you. But it shows a baby in it. So I know that. A baby goes in it, right? And then it shows it rocking back and forth. It's like a modern-day bassinet. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. And then it shows the baby rocking and sleeping peacefully. And then it shows the mom next to it smiling and sleeping. And I thought, wow, that's not something you normally see. Is a mom, but the goal is to make the mom happy. That when the mom gets tired of rocking, that there's this little thing on the bottom, and it starts to rock the baby by itself. That way the mom doesn't have to do the job all the time. And the dad doesn't have to do the job all the time. That God created things like this to help and assist inside of parenting. And I just begin to dig in because now, obviously, it didn't look like this when we got it. I mean, it had to be assembled. And what this does is it shows you how to assemble it. It shows you what tools you need to assemble it. It shows you literally why it was made and how you put it together. You find all that inside of the owner's manual. Listen, if something was made, it was made for a reason. And let me tell you this. Every person in this room has a reason you were put on this planet. And God has placed the tools around you needed in order to get you there. Because He loves you. If for any other reason, I'll save the batteries. All right. If for any other reason, it's this. He loves you, friends. God planned me for His pleasure. God planned you for His pleasure. It is His pleasure. You ever been to Chick-fil-A? And the first time I was there, oh, those chicken sandwiches. But
I was just picturing one right in my hand right now.
Like, one of the workers came over and said, is there anything that you need? And I was like, yes. Your Chick-fil-A sauce is what I would envision to be the nectar that drips from the trees of heaven. Like, is there any more that I could have? And if you ask for anything at Chick-fil-A, what is their response? My pleasure. And when she said that, because, you know, normally if you're, like, somewhere else, they're just like, okay. And then they'll go get it. Like, you're bothering them. But to hear a worker come up and go, my pleasure. I'm like, really? It's your pleasure to get me more Chick-fil-A sauce. I'm digging this place right now. You know, my pleasure, God plans you. I know I'm just sticking chicken sandwich illustration for this point. But God plans you for his pleasure. Like, he loves serving your life. He loves blessing your life. He loves getting you and equipping you with everything you need to get to the moon that he created you to get to, friends. He loves loving you. God plans you for his pleasure. 1 John chapter 4 and 16 says, so we have come to know and to believe that the love God has for us. Oh, man, and it's this. They get it. He says, God is love. 1 John 4:10, back up a couple verses. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation of our sins. Meaning he came, oh, he's so crazy about you, right? Veil in two. He came to clear whatever junk, whatever sin was in the way between us and him. He came to clear whatever obstacles and mountains that stand between us and the purpose for which we were made. He loves you, my friends, and has a wonderful plan for your life. And before we answer the question, what is that plan? We've got to answer the question, do you believe there is a plan? Do you believe it? I don't care how young you are. He's got a plan for your life. Start chasing it now. I don't care how old you are. Can I tell you? It's never too late to dream. It's never too late to have a moon. It's never too late to have a goal. There's a gentleman, this video went viral. He was a graduate of Kansas. And he, like back in the 1930s, and he played football for Kansas. And he left playing football for Kansas, and he went to fight in World War II. And became like an incredible veteran. Like, all of our veterans are incredible. You know, he became a very decorated veteran and just left a dream to go pursue another dream and stood up for our nation and upheld the cause of our nation in World War II and just went back to do normal life after that. And recently they were asking him, somebody had created a conversation, they said, what is your life's dream? And he says, you know, oh, my family. He goes, are there any dreams that you have and you know that you haven't seen? And he goes, well, you know, I did have a dream. I never got the opportunity to score a touchdown when I played for Kansas. I know Mizzou fans, it's hard to hear this story right now, but like, he never got to hear the roar of a crowd when he did it. And so Kansas, on an alumni day, caught wind of this dream. And they invited him to come. Check out this video. Isn't that awesome? They asked him what his response was once he hit the end zone. And his response was this. I didn't know I could run. Like, it's amazing. Though, when you see a moon, the strength God gives you to get there, friends. And that's why we're here in your life today. You know, that's one of the purposes of Journey Church. That's one of the primary purposes of this church, to be wrapped around you like those players were, that gentleman, that 89-year-old man who juked his way to a touchdown that day. We are that team to equip ourselves to be around you and help equip you to place your footprint on the end zone of an incredible dream. Oh, Jesse, that sounds great, but I'm going to ask the worship team if they would to come. That sounds great, Jesse, but I'm having a hard time right now. My life is hell. I can't see anything, and you're asking me to see a moon. I'm being squeezed on all sides of life right now. It's just hard to believe something like that could exist for my life. That's why we're here today. God has a plan for your life. Check this out. God loves you so much. He uses not just the good times to help you get to your dream, but he'll even use the bad times to help you get to your dream. He uses everything for a purpose. Romans 8 and 28, and we know that in all things, not just the good things, the bad things too. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Journey Church, don't worry about hard times. Trust him through the hard times and watch how God can teach you in those times. Watch what God does to mold you in those hard times. Watch what he does to prepare you in those times for the moon he has created you to land on, for the new world he created you to go to. 5 days I'm getting ready to have a baby, and every Friday leading up to this Friday when we go in for the cesarean section, we go on this website called whattoexpect.com, and there's this video. It's about 2 minutes. The lady's name is Heidi, and she jumps on there and she says, this is what your baby is doing right now. This is the growth that's happening in your baby. And this is where, you know, all that stuff. This is how big your baby is. And so every Friday, my wife and I, we can't wait. We wake up on Friday morning and says, oh, let's look and see where she is. And we're looking at the video. And during one of them, I just started, when her lungs started to develop. And they said that she's breathing right now amniotic fluid, which is the fluid that is in there. Right? The baby's breathing it, like, I'm like, whoa, it's like the Matrix. Like, this is awesome. Like, this is an alien baby. Like, this is so cool. Like, I didn't know that the baby breathed. She's like, well, what did you think the baby was? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I just think the baby's got air in there and books and desks. Like, I don't know. But the baby's breathing amniotic fluid. And I'm like, okay, well, if she's breathing, if she's taking out amniotic fluid, that means she's taking it in. So I was like, well, how does the baby breathe when it comes out of the womb? Like, how there's fluid in the lungs. And so I was researching and studying it because I'm just curious. And doctors say that the birth canal is the vessel that is used to transport the baby from one world to the next, right? And that birth canal is a squeeze, and so pain in childbirth and all that stuff, and it's painful for the child too, because, I mean, that's a tight squeeze, right? And so to come out of that says that it's instrumental in squeezing the child to such levels that it forces all of the fluid out of her lungs to prepare her to breathe in the new world. And I thought, wow, God thinks of everything, doesn't he? Like, nothing wasted. No part of the process of our life is wasted. that we are taught at the very beginning of our life that even pain has a purpose. That even pain can have a purpose in preparation, in taking us not just into a new world, but it prepares us for an ability to breathe the air of our new world. So I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you this. God is using whatever it is for your good and for your benefit to take you to your moon. Now listen, when that baby's going through that birth canal, you know, it's mind-blowing to me. Like, what in the world could that baby be thinking? You know, like the pain and the confusion and the frustration and just the stress and the anxiety that the baby would experience. But it's all for a purpose. I know it hurts, but what is happening right now is preparing you for a life that will bless that child in more ways than they could count. He has a plan for every single person in this room. And so we're going to get you in this series to look through the microscope of your dream, to look through the telescope and see your moon, see your dream. We're going to get you to the point where if you don't know what your dream is, you're going to get to see it and go, there it is. I know why I was made. I know why I was put on this planet. I know the dream God has for me. I can't wait to see those light bulbs come on in this room and in your lives. I can't wait for you to be able to say, that's where I'm supposed to take the direction of my life. My footprint will be there one day. But before we get there, do you believe? So let's do this. I love this song, and I just sense that we need to sing this song. You made a way for me. Oh, he loves you so much. He will always make a way for you, friends. You are God's, and he is yours. And we'll be together forever. Like, he's going to accomplish so much. And so I would like for us to close the service experience today with this prayer. God, you love me. God, you made me. And God, you made me for a reason. God, you love me. God, you made me. God, you made me for a reason. And I feel like there are people in this room that are struggling with those things right now in their life. And you just need to start confessing these truths right now in your life. So we're going to sing. I want to ask our communion teams, if they would, to come and prepare the elements and hang out by those tables, if they would, with the elements prepared. I want to ask our leadership team, if they would, to make themselves available here at the front. Just kind of scatter here in the center area and sit. And for those of us out in these seats today, excuse me, brother. For those of us out in these seats today, before we get up and take communion, before we get up and maybe go ask some leader to pray with us in an area of our life that we may be going through, let's just sit here for a minute. Let's just sit here for a minute and close our eyes and just whisper those statements right there and worship the Lord because of them. God loves me. Oh, if we could just whisper that under our breath and start to breathe that truth into our conscience, start to breathe that truth into our mindset. That no matter what you're going through, he loves you. Even if everything's great right now, there is nothing wrong, friends, with celebrating that truth in this room. He loves me. What a great truth to consistently affirm ourselves in. If I'm you, I'm sitting in the seat. I'm going to whisper that, those first three words on that screen. I'm going to whisper that 30 times. You love me. God loves me. God loves me. See, I'm getting something new every time I say it. He a personal God who loves me. God who made all of this universe. He loves me. God loves me. When I said that the fourth time, it's like I see the cross. Oh, he loves me. When I say that a fifth time, I see the family he's put around my life. He loves me. When I say that again, I see the church that he's put around my life. He loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God made me. God made me. I'm not an accident. I am not an afterthought. God made me. So let me say, well, I wasn't planned. Well, guess what? Neither was I. I was conceived in the backseat of a car in a Methodist parking lot. 17-year-old girl and a 20-year-old guy. That's why I'm a preacher today, because I was made in a church parking lot. Amen. But God made me. I'm not an accident. God made me, and God made me for a reason. Amen? So let's pray. And at any point when you feel done, when you feel complete, and that personal experience